it, God. Woo-hoo!
By the way, after sin enters the world, what does Adam say? The woman you gave me, God, this was a mistake. Do you see that? He's totally reverses himself, but he is excited because now there's one for him. There is that relationship that is designed into humanity. And therefore, the man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast. Do you notice that Hebrew word, hold fast? It has the idea of an adhesive. I like to think of it as super glue. They've been super glued together, now pull them apart. That's what we do every day, don't we? It's called divorce court. And that's why it tears us up. And some of you in this room have been divorced. And you will say to me, you got that right, because that wasn't good. Wasn't good. We are designed to hold together through thick and thin. And that's why in the marriage ceremony, they come through the aisle with witnesses on either side who are there to say, we're watching you. I heard you say, I vow my life to you. I vow your my life to you. I'm going to hold you to that. And that's the idea. We're to gather them up. And when they say, you know, this is not what I thought you were going to be. Oh, man, I'm so mad. I can't believe he's terrible. He's terrible, man. And what do we say? Get rid of him. What were we supposed to say? I heard you vow. Now, of course, there's some cases where things have gone bad and you're going to have to do some distance and there's things you have to do for safety. Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about when it's inconvenient. Because when you do the hard work of life and live life together, it is amazing what comes on the other side if you stay through. And I'm going to tell you, there were times when Tatiana should have left me. I tell you, she has hung in there. But I'll tell you even more than that. Let's see what I have next on this slide. We'll come back to that. I want to tell you this story, and this is all in seriousness, is I had this head injury from a cow. And it was bad. Bad, 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 bad. 5 years bad. Corey never saw me better. And I was prone to rage because of bad injury to my head. It was actually my neck, almost broken. And symptoms were bad. I forget everything. I couldn't remember where I was. Couldn't remember people. Corey would come up to me and she'd say, do you remember them? No. She said, they were over for dinner last night. Do you remember them? Oh, yes. It was that bad, okay? Over for dinner last night. I couldn't remember. And I was prone to rage, and there were times where I just lose it with my boys. And she would gather those boys like a hen gathering her chicks under the wing, and she'd say to the boys, and I heard her say this multiple times, boys, this is tough, but divorce is not an option in our household. And she lived those vows out the hardest of circumstances. Hardest of circumstances to the very end, and God took her home. So we are glued together, and we have to leave our parents, start our new family, and hold our vows. Now, men and women are different. Anybody notice that? Most people, if you guys went, I did pick that up. We are quite different. But, you know, a lot of people say that there's no difference to us, except that men are a little stronger and women are maybe not as physically different, but they're as mentally different. Did you know that? Yeah. Well, so I'm going to tell you this story. There were three guys not far from here walking on the beach one day. And the one man, there were three guys, and one guy in the middle, and his head is down. And the other guys are alongside him, consoling him. And he's discussing about the marriage that's not working too well. And he's walking along the beach, and they're trying to help him work through these things. And he trips over a rock or something, and he's, gets back there and digs up. And there is a lantern. Now, this is not a true story, okay? Get that right. All right. And he rubs the lantern, and guess what comes out? The genie. All right. The genie comes out, and he says, I will grant you three wishes. And they all look at this. Give me a break. What is this? Where's the hologram? What's going on? You know, and he says, no, really, I'll grant you three wishes. And the one guy says, well, let me try this thing out. All right, so there's three of us. We each get a wish. If that's how you want to do it, sure. All right. So he says, all right, tell you what. See the road up there? Highway 1, is it Highway 1 along there? On the 101? Okay, but no, that goes along the coast, maybe down towards Big Sur. Is that 101?
One.
Okay, they're looking up at Highway 1. He says, I want a red Ferrari, and I want to be driving up on that road right now. Let's see if that happens. He's gone. All of a sudden, the other two guys are looking around, and they're, and there's this red Ferrari, and he's waving away. Well, the second guy says, now that's pretty good. But he underestimated this thing. He says, well, I don't want a depreciating Ferrari. I want a house up on the cliff, overlooking big windows, and I want $2 million cash. Gone. The other guy's looking around, and all of a sudden, hears a shout. He's up there waving from a deck. And yeah, he's got still holding money and all that. And so now the third guy, the genie, says, all right, you get the last wish. He said, well, I don't want stuff. I just want my marriage to work. I don't know how to nurture this along. It's just not going well. And the genie said, well, maybe you just need some time away together. He said, yes, that's it. That's it. We need some time away together. Hawaii. She's always wanted to go to Hawaii. We've never been able to afford it. I want 3 weeks vacation, all paid for, on the beach in Hawaii. And the genie says, you got it? How soon you want to go? I got the tickets ready. You will fly out. And he said, No, my wife is definitely afraid of flying. She could never fly to Hawaii. No, we have to drive there. And the genie says, what do you mean drive there? He says, I need a highway between here and Hawaii so we can just drive there. And the genie says, well, listen, I'm a genie. I'm not God, okay? I can't make you know, beat those pilings we have to go to hold up that bridge. This is not possible. I can't do it. And the guy says, oh. He actually says, no. In reality, that's really not what I need. What I really need is I need to understand women. The genie's face goes pale. He says, you want that 2-lane or 4-lane to Hawaii? Because we are different, aren't we? We are dramatically different. Not only are we individuals, men and women, different from each other as a man to man or a woman to woman, but we are different in terms of how we think. And in fact, this was very interesting. As a veterinarian, I read this study. It was in a journal of neuroendocrinology. Neuro would be like brain. Endocrinology is what? Hormones. Okay? And they deal especially with how the male hormones and female hormones affect our thinking. So that's right up what we're talking about, right? And so they did this study back in the 1990s. I have a copy on my computer, but anyways, they took some mice and they put them in the maze. They separated male and female, and they put the male mice into this maze. And in the maze, they had at the end of the maze is, of course, the treat, right? And they put they ding a little bell. That means time for the mice to go in the maze. But they did something different. They had a middle section that was wide open, with multiple entrances into that. And so the bell would ring on the other end and the mice start going for their feeding. And the male mice, they'd run through there and they'd come out to that center section and they'd look at each other, wiggle their noses and run and finish the maze. They put the female mice, okay, this is mice, okay? And they put the female mice in there. They hear the bell, they run through the maze, they come to center, they look at each other. What do you think happened? They ran to each other, wiggled their noses, did their ears, wiggled their noses, and then finally went on and finished the maze. Astonishing. Even mice are different, okay? They think differently because of their gender, because of the hormone effect. And so they realized, they studied, they found out that it was actually boys are born this way. It isn't, you understand I'm a veterinarian. You could castrate them, right? You could castrate the mice, neuter them, better word. Oh, I've got to get small animal, not cows and horses. Okay, geld them. Does that work better? I don't know. Anyways, you could do that, and they still responded the same. Oh, hold on a second. I got a little too wild there. All right, they responded the same. And so what they did was, and I don't know how they did this, to be honest with you, I'm marveled at it, because they'd have to go into the abdomen of the little mice. But they surgically went into the mama mouse, got the little mice out, and took out the testicles while they were still young, before a testosterone surge happens in the young mice. And I don't remember the day on it. In humans, it's like a couple of months in, the males will have a testosterone surge, and it masculinizes the brain. Right? So they wanted to see if this was really what was making these brains different. So they did this to these mice, and they got a few now neutered male mice come out. And they grew them up, and they put them in the maze. You ready? All right, these men neutered them. They never had that testosterone surge. They put them in there. They run to the end after, and they get to the center area. They look at each other and run and wiggle their noses together. They were female in their brain. See, female brain is the default. The male brain requires a surge of testosterone, and it cuts some of the fibers between the left and right side of the brain. And see, the males, we have this ability to push our emotions over here and use our logic foremost. Have you noticed that about men? And the women, the fibers cross more. And so women, there was a lot of, yep, I've seen that. The women, there's a lot more fiber crossing, so logic and emotion are more, and this isn't all women, it isn't all men, but the logic and emotions cross together and mix together. Guys, you ever notice that? You ever come home? Well, I can fix that. Oh, I did it. Girls, you remember that Marshall day, and your husband comes home, and he says, oh my gosh, that's easy. All you have to do is this. How'd that work? I have never been able to quite get that, okay? Because I see the answer. This is easy. I know what I'm supposed to do. Just sit there and listen. Oh, man, really? Oh, you feel that way? Oh, wow. Cry a little more. Help you out. And oh, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden she's okay and everything's fine. I don't get that, okay? But I've seen it. Women are different. Now, here's the thing, women. Men, when that testosterone surge happens while we're babies, it severs part of our brain. So you knew this. You were right. We are brain damaged. You knew that. Yeah, let's give it a pause. We are brain damaged. Well, okay, in a sense. See, biologically, now think about this in terms of the transgender and all these things that are going on. First off, let's just say it's a male. He is, biologically, his brain is made male when he's born. All right? So no matter what you do, every cell in his body is an XY. He is male. I don't care what you do physically, you're going to just mess him up because he is male. And the same thing with the female. I just want to scream out child abuse with some of the things that people do. And I imagine I could get put in jail for even saying this, but oh well, it's true. All right? Every cell in the body of you men is male. Every cell. All right, and the female, every cell in your body is double X. You are female, every cell in your body. Okay, so let's take a look now at these two views, apes to man. Now that we understand there are differences in not only the way we are built physically, male and female, but also how our brains are built, neurologically, women think different than men. That's also, by the way, doesn't the Bible give us different roles? It does set up different roles. Who would you rather have having the nuclear codes? Somebody who's able to separate his emotions from his logic, or somebody who's got them all crossing together? Well, I've had it from this nukem. I mean that facetiously, but you see there is intention in the design. And women are designed to be the helpmate to the man and to come alongside. Now, the man has to learn to tenderly love the woman who's different. And in fact, I'm glad she's different than me. Sometimes I haven't a clue what that is, but what she's thinking, but I really appreciate that difference. But if we had, let's just think about this now, the gender differences, if we're apes to man. That means men and women evolved at the same time. That's an impossibility, okay? But all right, do we have a soul? And when did that happen? All right, and then what about social order when we deal with all these things? If we're just apes, does that matter? Doesn't matter a bit. Doesn't matter a bit. But if we're Adam to Eve, then man was created first with a purpose. The woman was a helpmate from the man. And I think about that. He could have just made her separate, but he made it that way for a picture for us. So let's just pay attention to that. And I'm going to tell this. I tell this to young people as well as older people. When you become happy with who you've been created to be in your gender, I want to use sex because gender is being used wrong, in your sex, male or female, and you get satisfied with who you are as a male, you are going to become a full person just knowing, I am a man. I'm not something else. And women, when you get satisfied with what you are as a woman, the way God created you, you're going to find the most happiness in your relationships with men. And it's going both ways when we get comfortable with who we are in our gender. Both, by the way, are image bearers of God. So there's no value difference. That's critical. Because a lot of people say, yeah, you're just trying to be a male chauvinist pig. No, I'm just opening the door for you. You see what I'm doing? I'm giving preference to the woman like we should. Because you are the ones we are to treat well and special. Because we're the men. We're to treat you that way. You see, but because you are an image bearer along with me. You bear the image of God. Your value is absolutely equal to mine. So if we think about this now in terms of marriage, apes to man, society can decide who gets married. If men want to be married, you know that there's people trying to marry sheep now. Seriously, have you heard that? Oh, yes. It's been tempted to get men to be able to marry a ewe. God tells us what to do about that, doesn't he, in his word. But you see, if Adam and Eve are where we came from, then God has decided already how we're to act in terms of marriage and what it is to be man and woman. So let's recap this and kind of pull it together now. Men are brain damaged. We know that. All right, women, do we have anybody here who say that's not true? Go ahead, put your hand up. Notice the... Oh, all right. Oh, good for you. How much did you pay her? And of course, you love women. And that's so cool because that's really true. And it's, you know I'm joking. And I'm using that to point out how we're different. Yeah, and that's what I'm doing. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But nobody's ever done that before, so there you go. I'm proud of you. Women are, their emotions are fully engaged. And it's really true. And sometimes us men just don't know what to deal with that, how to deal with it. And I find myself a little off kilter all the time. Any other guys like that? Where you go, what in the world was that? Yes. All right. Men are emotionally inept. Why are you laughing? Are you saying that's true? Absolutely true. You know, this is I get a kick out of. You know, have you ever heard somebody talking about going to a men cave? How many of you guys know what I mean? You know, and here's what's interesting. When emotions happen to me, and by the way, Tatiana is a lovely woman. I love her dearly. But she also knows the button. And actually knows all of them. And that can fire me up emotionally, right? Or something else can fire me up emotionally. This is so interesting. Because I don't know if you guys tell me if this is you. But when I get really emotional, especially with my wife, something's going on and I'm really emotional, I start to cut out. I mean, my brain stops. I don't know what to do. I'm print something. I don't know what to do. It really, girls, you got to get this right. We don't know what to do. Our brains actually short circuit because we don't have those ways to which you can cross. And then now, only thing we know is to slug. All right. Now, here's an interesting thing about men. We get in a group, and we know the buttons too, by the way, but we don't touch them. Not unless we want to be a bully and want to get in a fight, because we know what's going to happen. He's going to short circuit, and then it's going to be one of this, you know? And so it's interesting, especially in those early days of my second marriage, that was so tough. And Toddy and I will say, boy, we're sure glad we vowed together, because that's what held us through it all. And there were days that there were things come up and with my kids or with her and all that, and I'm just going, ah! And there were the hill that I'd walk up. And I'd walk all up, there's about half a mile up there across this field, and sometimes I'd see a deer or a coyote, something out there, it's up on the mountainside. And then I'd walk down the hill. And you know, when I got to the top and I circled around, oh, well, that's not so hard. By the time I got back, we could solve the problem. You guys understand that? You got to get away, because you're just about ready to blow apart, you don't know what to do, and you get away. And we have to let our brain drain. It's like we have a funnel, and it's, you know, it's like you're pouring in the heavyweight oil, and it's just filling up the top, and it's just not pouring out, and pretty soon it's going to spill all over, and that's when things go like this. If you get away and you let the oil drain, then all of a sudden we can think again. We're emotionally inept. And so, girls, it's good for you to know that. So when we say, I got to go away, I got to go, time out, this is favorite, time out. And now what's interesting, I don't think Toddie would mind me saying this, but her dad left her mom. And when she was like 12. And so it's really scarred her. So when I would say, I got to go, she would try to stop me because she would immediately think I'm going to leave forever. And all I need to do is drain the oil out of the funnel, okay? I just need some time, because I can't think at all. And so we've had to work through that. So there's all these issues that come into a marriage relationship, aren't there? And we have to work through those with our person that we're with. All right, so men, we're emotionally inept, where women are emotionally controlled. And it does control you a little bit at times. And any woman's going to say that's not true. Might not. There might be some in here. But many, there's much more crossing of the motions, and it controls you more. Another thing about men, especially young, is we're verbally deficient. We are. We have trouble putting together early on, in all the way up to sixth grade, almost to puberty, women, the girls, are much more verbally ahead of us men. And we catch up later on, but it's much later. And the women are verbally expedient. That kind of works against us at times. And, you know, I told you my first wife, Corrine, she was studying to be pre-law. Boy, could she argue. She'd bury me all the time. That just drove me crazy. Men are physically strong. Women are physically tender. Guys, how are you like that? That's pretty good, I think. I like that. I don't want somebody who's as strong as I do. I always get a kick out of those women bodybuilders. Whatever. That's whatever. I'm sure somebody likes that, but I don't. Men are visual, especially when we talk about sexuality. Women are romantic. Isn't that true? Yes, yeah, slow romance. Men, 30 seconds is fine. You know, we're there. It's so different. Man was created first. Woman was created for man. That's intentional for us to see. Okay? When God brought Adam and Eve together, brings Eve to man, Adam shouted. When Eve sees Adam, no sound is recorded. I don't know what that means, but that's interesting. So, you can go there where you want. I don't know where to go on that theologically. All right. I want you to see that our sexes, male and female, is an intentional design. And we were designed for each other to walk through life together as partners. And it's then when we really find true character, true peace in the relationship. It's really a wonderful gift to a man to have a good wife. And it's a gift to the wife to have a husband who loves her. It really is a gift, and it's intentional by design. When we do other designs, as the ape philosophies are telling us today, it just destroys anything good in our lives. Intentionally designed. And so, it's interesting as you look at then what Timothy says. And in Timothy, these are the pastoral epistles, and they're teaching us now the application of this. And so he teaches different things for men than he does for women. Have you noticed that before? And so in Timothy, he's saying to the men, I wish that in every place that men should pray, lifting up holy hands, without what? Quarreling. There's a tendency of men, because of this emotional thing, to, when we fill up a little bit, to slug. And God's saying, I want Timothy, Paul speaking to Timothy, control the anger, men. Control the anger. And get away, let your brain settle down, let the oil pass through the funnel, whatever you got to do. Likewise, women should adorn themselves. Now, why don't you catch that? She should adorn herself with respect. I like the way this translation says, with respectable apparel. Men don't have as much trouble with that. Why? Because women look on a man who's slightly undressed and they often say what? Yuck! I mean, really, men look at a woman who's scantily dressed and it's a total different thing. And so God is telling the women to dress appropriately so you don't inflame the men around you. I find after a winter in Montana, and then I go to a beach somewhere in the early summer, and I go, whoa, I'm having wrong effects here by some of the clothing that's there, or the lack thereof. And so women are to have their attire specific so they don't inflame the men around them. Now, I always like this one especially well. Let woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. There we go. Let's quit there. Amen? Ma'am? Yeah. What is that? How many have looked at that and said, what is that saying? Anybody had trouble with that? Any women? Okay, so women. How many women have looked at this and said, that bothers me a little bit? Get your hands up. Oh, come on. All right, yeah. It should, huh?
All of them,
yeah. The rest of you's lying, right? All right. So here's the point. Now, let's make first the point here is Adam was created first. So you remember how I said God didn't create the woman first. He created the man first. That's intentional. So let's pay attention to that. All right? We forget this. So if he's referring back to Genesis now, what happened in Genesis? Created the man first, then created the woman from him. Okay? So it's drawing us back to there. And then it says this. First, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness and self-control. Whoo, boy. How many have struggled over that one for years? What does that mean? Well, it's simple. Keep the woman in the house pregnant, right? You know. Yeah, barefoot. How do I forget that? Well, that's the way a lot of people do it. Let's start with the transgression. Now, we remember in Genesis 3 now, the chronology starts up again. And we know what happens is the woman gets deceived by Satan, right? All right, and so she takes the forbidden fruit. Now, obviously, when she takes it, Adam is there with him. What should Adam have done if he was the authority in her life? Stopped her. But he didn't. You see, he wasn't deceived. He wanted that sin. He had decided, I want that. And so he let her take it, and then he took it. And so he had the authority. He actually, and if you read in the scriptures, Jesus is the second Adam. The first Adam messed us all up, but he wasn't the first one to take the fruit. It was his wife, but he gave the authority. He had the authority over her. He's responsible. So men, we're responsible. It's not so nice. We are responsible for what happens in our household. And then the last one, will she be saved? Does that make sense? Do we have enough there on that? So the man is designed to be the authority, the ultimate authority. Now, I'm going to say this. I better expand upon that. Man is designed to be the ultimate authority in the household. But let's just say, so that means that he has the final say in finances. Well, it should be that way, actually. Final say. But what if his wife is a CPA and he's a gambler? Who should handle the money? Pretty obvious, huh? All right? He should be delegating that to his accountant wife who's going to handle the money, and he shouldn't touch it because he's going to be a fool if he does otherwise. All right? Do you see how we're a team? We're a team. My wife is a violinist and pianist. I don't sing in the choir. I did it at our church, and it was kind of bad sometimes. All right? That's what she's good at. I'm in a different role. Do you see that? We have different roles that we have because of our giftings. So we want to make sure we understand our giftings, understand the gifting of your wife, understand the gifting of your husband, and encourage the gifting of each other. But the ultimate authority on when things God's going to hold the household accountable is us guys. That's the point of this, really. We're the one responsible. Because he's responsible for what his wife initiated, and he should have stopped it. Should have stopped it. Now, saved through childbearing. Whew, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. What does that mean? Some people will say that the woman will be saved through childbearing because it was through the woman. Do you see? Let me back up a little bit. Jesus was not the son of Joseph. He was only the son of the woman. And in fact, in Genesis 3, there's a prophecy in Genesis 3:15 that the son of the woman will crush the head of Satan, and Satan will wound him. And the picture there is of the cross, but then the ultimate destruction of Satan is by the cross, by Jesus, and he's going to destroy Satan at the end. And the picture here is that he was the son of a woman, not of just of a man. And so therefore, we will be saved through that. That's possibly true. It's also possible true that this statement is simply trying to tell us that you're going to find the greatest peace in life when you fall into your role. And I'm more inclined to think that's what it's really trying to say, because this is after the cross. I'm saying that the woman, not so much saved from hell, so to speak, but will find the greatest peace in life, a position when she finds her place in faith, love, holiness, and self-control. That's probably the best I can do with it. In other words, I'm not terribly certain. And if you look at everybody's commentary on this, it's all over the map. And we used to have a saying in veterinary medicine, when there are 7 treatments for the same disease, it means none of them work very well. And so in this verse, I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure. But I think it does maybe imply something to the cross, but it also implies to the role. The women have a role in life, and when they find themselves in that role, and the men, when we find ourselves in our role properly, that's where peace in life is ultimately found. Let the woman learn in quietness and all submissiveness, and here I love this one, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, she is to remain quiet. There we go. How have you been handling that? Pastor, tell us now, I'm going to sit down. You know what's so good about this? He brings me in, and then I can go home, and you guys can beat up on him. So it's really, I love this role. Oh, I forgot to shut that off. Anyways, I believe the context here is the church, and actually the church service, and this is implying, and I don't know the Nazarene doctrine, I'm just going to tell you my thinking what this believes. I think this is pointing to the role of elders in the church, and pastors in particular are to be male. That's what I think the text is trying to say. All right? Does that bother you? Oh, well, I'm going to go home. So I want you to think about that. I believe that is contextually what he's building up to, because the next chapter, very next thing he's going to talk about is let the elder serve, let the deacon serve, and so on. And I believe this is a call to male leadership in the church. That's what I believe. And that's why God designed us as male leaders. Do you see how that all fits together? So we have to now decide whether we're going to believe that or not. All right. Anyways, to dress well and so on. I'll just keep on from there. So what I wanted to leave you with this is that we are created differently. We are created intentionally, and our genders are very intentional. God could have created Eve the same time he created Adam, just like he did the giraffes and all the other animals. But he chose this order intentional. And the order was to show us that we are equal but different, and to show us and a role models for life. And when we function within our role models according to our design, that is where the greatest peace in life is found. Created in the image of God, male and female. It's a wonderful thing. We are not sons of monkeys. You are image bearers of a living God, equal but different. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your teaching from the Word, and as we ponder all these difficult teachings that are come out of the idea of Adam and Eve, we pray that we'll be able to understand how it affects our lives in a world that we live in that's gone mad and is teaching us wrong. I pray that as we think about this, and maybe somebody here tonight is bothered, that's good. Let them think about it, dig into the Scriptures, and look at what God did in the design of the man and the woman, how we are different by intentional design. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.